I will be reading Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 12. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones in that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were descending and descending on it.
Good morning. I have a bit of a dry throat this morning, so I might have to do a little drinking once in a while. If you have your Bibles, be opening to John chapter 1. We'll be in verses 19 through 51. I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we as your church, we come before your throne of grace. Father, we don't take it for granted that we have this ability. But we find it in our hearts to say to you, thank you for your Son and the sacrifice that he gave to allow us to come. Father, it's our sole intention this morning to glorify you in all that we do, to lift you up, to exalt you, to magnify your name. Father, I'd ask that you help us with our focus this morning, that we stay attuned to you, that we, Father, all increase in our hunger and our thirst for righteousness. We love you and we thank you so much for Jesus. It's through him we pray. Amen. How many of you have computers? A bunch. My computer at home exists on a desk that is permanent. You can't move the desk. It's attached to the cubby hole. It's a part of the framing and woodwork and all that. And I've been doing some painting lately in my house, and I had to paint the wall behind the computer. And I don't know if you've looked behind your computer lately, but there's a whole lot of wires behind that computer. Once upon a time, I read all the instructions and figured out how to put all those wires where they go. I have a computer tower. I have a monitor. I have a router. I have a wireless router. I have a printer slash fax slash copy machine. I have Magic Jack or the other thing. I don't forget what it's called. Same thing. All the stuff plugs into each other. All the wires would fill a 5-gallon bucket. You ever turned your computer on and pushed that internet button and boy, you're ready to go and it says, server cannot be found. You know how frustrating that is, not to be connected? This morning, what I want to mention before we get started with our study is this. Sometimes our spiritual wiring gets crossed. Okay? Life tangles us up. And if you have lost connection with God, all you got to do is type in http://JesusChrist. How's that? I just made that up. If you go to that website and it tells you something unscriptural, I'm just making this up. All you got to do is talk to the Lord is what I'm saying. Are you connecting with what I'm saying? Sometimes we get out of connection with God, and we've got to do whatever it takes to get in connection. This week, a personal life experience that I've felt is I've had a lot of distractions. A lot of things trying to vie for my attention other than godliness. Satan's been working hard at me. This morning, before I got up to preach, my focus is not where it is. That's why I wanted to give a little prayer here and talk to the Lord before we start preaching. Satan wants my connection with God destroyed. And God doesn't. God wants us to connect. So part of our lesson today is kind of a self-monitoring program. Only you know if you're connected with the Lord or not. You can come here every Sunday and put on your little face, and I think you're doing great. Only to find out sometimes we're not doing great. With that in mind, let's think about Jesus. And Jay, thank you for the songs that pointed to our Savior, because we're going to be talking about Him today. Starting in verse 19, John chapter 1, verse 19. The Jews, and if you go on and read verse 24 specifically, you're going to find out the Pharisees sent the priests and the Levites out to John the Baptist to ask who he was. So the Pharisees send the priests and the Levites out, those in charge of godly order and the temple and all of that. He sent those guys out to ask John the Baptist who he was. Why did they send these guys out to ask who John the Baptist was? I'll tell you why, at least part of the reason why from Scripture. John the Baptist was drawing a big crowd of people from Jerusalem and from the surrounding areas. People were confessing their sins and being immersed into water. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us this. So the Pharisees were a real controlling, legalistic people. They didn't want the people of Jerusalem getting any message that did not come through them, was not approved by them, or controlled by them. So they sent their little squadron of troops out to say, John the Baptist, in my notes, I'm going to have a hard time doing this. I just put JB in my notes, but if I slip up and say JB, you know who I'm talking about, okay? They sent these guys out to say, who are you? Their questions when they came to John the Baptist were thorough in nature. John the Baptist, are you the Messiah? Are you the Elijah of Malachi? Are you the prophet of Deuteronomy 18 and verse 19? Another Greek lesson for you, just like last week. Prophet here in the Greek has the definite article in front of it. That's really important, and here's why. If you just think this is, are you a prophet, you're missing the text. The text says, are you the prophet in the Greek? So we need to pay attention to what the original, if you're one of the original Greek studiers, pay attention to what the text is saying. Specifically pointing to Deuteronomy chapter 18, there's a prophet going to arise among you. Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah? John says, no. If John the Baptist was seeking glory, this would have been the time to do it. If he would have wanted a little prestige, I'm the preacher. Oh, give me a break. If he would have wanted that, hey, that's how I feel about it. That's not all how all preachers feel about it, church. John the Baptist could have stood up and did the flex chest thing and said, I'm JB. See, it's on my shirt. He didn't do that. John was a humble man. He left the questions unanswered. But he gave a resounding no. John, however, was a prophet. God was speaking through him. John did exist in the spirit and power of Elijah, but he rejects the notion here that he is Elijah himself, as recorded in the book of Luke. But Jesus was to be the focus, the right frame of heart for any of God's people. Doesn't that say a lot, church? Can you think back over your lives and think about situations and circumstances that didn't quite turn out the way you wanted them to? Things that just kind of seemed to go amok? Times when you lost your focus on the Lord? Hey, all of us have been there, right? But here, John says, hey, Pharisees, members of Jerusalem, of the Sanhedrin, all the people of Jerusalem, you surrounding areas, you need to listen up. It's all about Jesus. That's the message I proclaim to you as well today. It's about Jesus. These priests and Levites, they said to John the Baptist, but we need an answer, because we got to go back and give an answer to the Pharisees who sent us. To which John says, you want to know who I am? He says, I'll tell you who I am. I'm the one recorded in Isaiah 40 and verse 3. The one sent to announce the coming of the Lord. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. You really want to know who I am? Go back and tell the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and all these people. You can go back and tell them, I'm the fulfillment of Isaiah 40 and verse 3. I'm the messenger. I'm the announcer of Christ. Well, that's where the rubber meets the road for sure. Let's look at verse 24 through 28. Let's take a read of this, verse 24 through 28. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, and they said to him, why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one who you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So the priests and the Levites said to John the Baptist, why are you out here baptizing or immersing people into water if you're not Christ, Elijah, or the prophet? Here the question gets really Pharisaical for sure. The idea is this. When the Pharisees and the priests and the Levites come out from the Pharisees and they say, what are you baptizing with water for? It's easy for us to sit here in the church today and say, baptizing means this. These guys that went out had no understanding of baptism in Christ and what that was going to be about. They went out and they said, why are you immersing with water if you're not Christ or Elijah or the prophet? What are you ceremonially washing if you're not connected in some way to the temple? Let me put this a little clearer. What right do you have? By what authority are you out here dipping people into water, which is an act of ceremonial cleansing that happens in the temple in connection with purity before God in the case of giving sacrifices? John the Baptist, what right do you have to do that? With this question, John the Baptist basically says, by the authority of the one who stands among you that you do not know. Huh? Can you picture yourself a Pharisee in those shoes? What authority do you have? Hey, by the authority of somebody standing among you that you don't even know. Oh, I wonder who that's going to be. Can anybody say Jesus? Whose sandals I'm unworthy to untie. Oh, boy, I love John the Baptist. And I understand why Jesus loved him, too. John the Baptist was a humble man. In humility, you see the true heart of God. He says, you know what? Speaking of this Jesus who's given me the authority to do this, I'm not even worthy to take his shoes off. You want to get connected to God, church? I want you to hear something right here and right now. If you want to get connected to God and have a relationship with him, you got to humble yourself. You got to put yourself low and exalt him. And you know what? That sounds great. It's hard to do sometimes because devil knows how to use pride in our hearts. He knows how to make us chase our ways and go after our desires instead of his. He knows how to rob our focus. He knows how to unconnect us from God. Humility is a step. When you just realize and own up to the fact that you're nothing, God can start doing something. I'm nothing. I mean that. I really feel that way, and it's not a bad self-image. It's just a realization as a creation of God. I'm on the floor, and he's in the sky. You got me? Now, if I ever lose that, I'm going to be in deep problems. I'm going to be swimming across the ocean with an anchor around my neck. You know what I'm saying? You ever felt like you've been doing that? Life ever make you feel that way? He says, I've been sent by Jesus. He says, I am baptizing. I'm out here doing this. That they asked him why he was out there doing this. What right, what authority? And he says, by the authority of Jesus. Verse 29 through verse 34. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifest to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John the Baptist sees Jesus and makes the introduction of Jesus into this world. How do you introduce a person? You know, once in a while I go down to Pray Over Iowa and they ask me to email them a biography of myself so that somebody can stand up and say, Dan Pierce worked at the Cedar Lou Church for so many years. He went to Sunset School of Preaching. Yada, 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 yada. How do you introduce yourself? Hi, I'm Dan. Hi, I'm the Lord. I'm Mr. Pierce. How would you introduce Jesus? John introduces Jesus in a very meaningful way here. He says, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He could have said, hey, Jesus came down out of heaven. He's been here. He's now 28, 30 years old, however old he is at the time. He's a carpenter. He was born into Mary and Joseph of Nazareth. Could have went through all that. He says, no, listen here. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Church, that's really significant. I don't know if a more significant thing, besides what he's going to say here in just a minute, coupled with this would mean anything. He says this, Jesus is the Lamb of God. What does God need a lamb for? I'll tell you why God needs a lamb. Because the God that created this world is going to step up to His own altar and take His own sacrifice, His lamb, Jesus the Christ, and sacrifice Him on that altar to pay for our sins. That's why it says, here's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Have you really thought? I want you to just think about it. The hair on my neck is standing up. Yes, I have hair on my neck, not on top of my head. But it's standing up. It's saying, wow, God sacrifice part of Himself to cover the bill that I couldn't pay. You go to a restaurant, you forget your billfold, what do? You got to go in the back and wash dishes, right? There ain't no spiritual dishes that you can wash to pay for your sins, church. You didn't know that. It only happens by the blood bought sacrifice that Jesus gave because He was the Lamb of God. Oh, that's good stuff. Talking about the Word. Oh, yeah. When I was thinking about that, I wrote down John 3:16. I'm glad Sunday school teachers made us memorize that when I was a kid. I know the King James Version. I might blend it now with NIV and NAS. I can't keep it straight. But God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. Talk about a great thing. Talk about a deep love. John the Baptist says that his baptizing, he gets down to answering it here. His baptizing or his immersing into water is meant to make Jesus known to Israel. Do you want to know why I'm out here doing the ceremonial washing thing as you're seeing this? Because it's part of my introduction of Jesus. Yet some of our world today thinks that baptism isn't essential, it's not important. The only thing I can think, and I don't want to be judgmental, but they just hadn't read the rest of the book. It's always been a part of the plan. It's part of the introduction of Jesus. And it's connected to His blood sacrifice as well. John the Baptist goes on to say that God Himself pointed Jesus out to him by allowing John the Baptist to see the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove and remaining upon him. God pointed him out to him. That's how he says, you know what? I wouldn't have known him. But God says, here he is. Now we know that the Spirit descended on Jesus at baptism, but here it's almost as if it's before the baptizing scene and somehow God says, this is him. Now I don't know if it is or not. You can speculate about that. I don't find it to be anything we need to chase down. But the fact is, God pointed him out. God told him which one. Let's look at, we're still in 29 through 34. The Lamb of God, John the Baptist, says, will baptize in the Holy Spirit. Okay, we got a tiger by the tail. Who wants to come up and explain this? In, with, or by is the Greek. He says, there's somebody, Jesus is coming after me. He's going to baptize in, with, or by the Holy Spirit. He's indicating here that he is not. John the Baptist is saying that Jesus' baptism will be a different baptism to the extent that it includes the Holy Spirit. John's baptism did not include the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit did not come until Jesus had ascended back to heaven, John chapter 16 and verse 7. Those baptized by John hadn't even, some of them at least, had not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 19 verse 1 through 6, and they had to be baptized again. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5 lets us know that this Holy Spirit baptism would begin at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured forth and made available for all mankind. We don't talk much about the Holy Spirit because it's kind of a complicated subject. But this Holy Spirit, what is talking about here is the indwelling of God. The indwelling, God cannot dwell in a person that's unclean. After baptism, after we come in contact with the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, and God moves in on our life. I like that. I need somebody else running my life because I'm not capable. You ever feel that way? I hope you do. You're supposed to. Let God be large and in charge in your life because He always knows the right thing to do. Here, John says Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Interesting thing we could discuss at some other point in time is being baptized with fire. People get that a little bit mixed up too, but that's not part of our lesson. You have to come see me. Go ask Glenn about that after church. He'll explain that to you. Okay, now here we go. We're going to finish up this chapter. Verses 35 through 51. Let's take a quick read of that and then let's wrap up. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus, and Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated, means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to Philip, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered to him, Because I said I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? Well, you will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Two of John the Baptist's disciples peel off and follow Jesus. After one day with Jesus, Andrew tells his brother Simon, we found the Messiah. So Andrew takes Simon to go and meet Jesus. Jesus shakes his hand and says, how you doing, Simon? What's your mom and dad's name? Where do you live? You're understanding that I'm being sarcastic. Nice to meet you, Simon. By the way, I'm going to change your name. It's not Simon anymore. It's Cephas. Okay. The one that controls the name has the authority. Says, Peter, I'm going to call you Fragment of a Rock, is the exact Greek translation. I'm going to call you a part of a rock. I'm going to call you Peter. You know what? Being connected with Jesus means giving up our identity. And you know, we're pretty particular about our identity. I like seeing my name on my driver's license. And I like all that paper that comes in my mailbox that has my name on it. People know me. I have a name. I have a title. I'm a person, right? I get too connected about I. Christianity's not about I. It's about Him. You with me? It's about giving up our identity, about denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Him, Matthew 16:24. We don't like giving up who we are because we think we're kind of special. Truth is, we are special in the Lord's eyes, but He doesn't want us leading the way. And sometimes we do that. With His new disciples, Jesus heads off to Galilee and He finds Philip along the way and tells Philip to follow Him. And Philip does. Philip goes and finds Nathanael and tells Nathanael that the Messiah has come. And I don't know if you're making this connection, but these are turned out to be apostles in the future, okay? Philip and Nathanael and Andrew and Peter. I don't know if you're making that connection. But Philip tells Nathanael that the Messiah has come. Nathanael says this, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That'd be like me living in Cedar Falls saying, can anything good come out of Waterloo? Those people over there got a reputation. Nathanael here is showing his doubt. He's putting himself out there. He says, there ain't nothing good going to come out of that place. So Andrew has taken him... Oh, no, I got off track here. Yeah, Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That was a judgment. It was faithless. It wasn't a good comment. To which Jesus says when He meets Nathanael, a real Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now, I want you to understand what Nathanael's just said, and now you can understand more about what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you're a hypocrite. In simple terms. Not just you, but a real Israelite, the connection a lot of Israel was going to reject Jesus too, as we saw in verse 11. Jesus came to His own and His own received Him not. A real Israelite indeed. Nathanael asked Jesus, how do you know me? Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. Nathanael says, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus says, "What? You're going to believe in me because I said I saw you under a fig tree? You're going to see greater things than that, Nathanael." Now that made me stop and think. When I got to this part in my study, I thought, you know what? Why do we believe in Jesus? Sometimes we believe in Jesus for the wrong reasons. You said you saw me under a fig tree. Maybe he had binoculars. Is that a good enough reason? Hey, why do you believe in Jesus? I've heard some pretty corny explanations throughout my life, and at different times in my own life, I bought into Jesus for the wrong reasons. If you want to know who Jesus is, close your eyes, church. Because flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Paul talks about the spiritual realm. When we have our physical eyes open, when we're looking at the physical things, we get focused on the wrong thing. Real connection with God, that Ethernet cable connection, you know, it's in your heart, in connection with God's Word. You can look around and you can see the external evidences which Satan will control to lead you astray. Haven't we all been led astray a time or two? Jesus says your belief needs not be superficial. You need to understand, listen to this. Heavens will be open and the angels of God will ascend and descend on the Son of Man. Anybody recognize that? Nathan did a good job reading our Genesis 28 passage. Jacob's ladder, right? I want to know, is that an extension ladder or a step ladder? You know, you can look at that story when you're over here in Genesis and you can make all kinds of things about it, but as Evelyn Botting said in the class this morning, she says that the Old Testament was the tutor or the schoolmaster or the shadow, and the New Testament is the reality. Hey, we see Jacob's ladder set up over here in the Old Covenant. We see that it's a ladder for angels to go back and forth to heaven. And you know what Jesus says? I'm that ladder. You can't get in your car and drive to heaven. You can't send an email there and expect God to come. You've got to go up my ladder. Jesus says, this church, I am the connection to God. John 14 and verse 6, he says that there's no other way to the Father except through me. If you're going to get to God, you've got to step on the ladder of Jesus. One step at a time. You know what my problem is? I got lots of problems. I know I'm setting myself up if I ask that. I like to take a lot of steps at once. I like to skip a step here and there. You know that frustrates me, stresses me, wears me out. Are you guilty of that sometimes too? How many steps have you missed in your life? Are you trying to pass one right now? I'm just here to tell you that if you're going to get connected with God, it's only going to be through Jesus. That's what John said. Inspired writer. That's what he said. The only way you're going to get connected to God is through Jesus. Who is this Jesus? I'm loving the study because I'm trying to figure out who is this, the Son of God that I'm supposed to be like, that I need to follow his example. What is it that makes him tick? What is it that makes him do the things he does? How can I be like him? Because I'm not going to get to God if I don't get to Jesus. So I'll conclude in this way. Why do you believe in Jesus? Do you merely follow tradition? Are you a Christian because your parents are a Christian? Are you a Christian only because your parents are a Christian? Is it for the simple hope of what we can get out of the deal? Is that why you're a Christian? Church, we must understand that Jesus is God's only sacrifice for reconciling the world unto Himself. And we must fully accept that He is our connection to heaven. And with that, I just say this. Are you connected? How's your connection? Do you have a partial connection? Hey, you ever tried to use the internet when you don't got enough megabytes or whatever that stuff is that makes it work? Partial connection? Jesus said, let me tell you, there is no partial connection. You be lukewarm or cold, or I'll spit you out of my mouth. Have you bought into the idea that there's a partial... I'll do better next week. I'm doing the best I can this week. Have you bought into the idea that there's a partial connection to God? There isn't. That doesn't mean that you got to set up today and start doing everything according to godliness perfect, but I'm talking about the very connection. You know Jesus or you don't. You're concerned about finding out who He is or you're not. You see what I'm saying? You'd say, well, you're bipolar, Dan. There's some in-between on some of this. Hey, let me tell you what. When it comes to knowing Jesus, you know Him or you don't. You want to know Him or you don't. What is it today? What does the invitation need to be? Only Jesus knows what your personal invitation needs to be. Because you know what? In this crowd today, there's a lot of people with a lot of struggles. God knows your heart. I don't. I know some things about you. Church, we have to get right with Jesus to move forward. Are you right with Jesus? If not, would you come as we stand and sing?